Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
The righteous judgment of the Most High,
who will
render unto every man according to his deed, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do you follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sin.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Is it cool to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
It's a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
It's a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see police?
Yep.
Wanna get shot down?
Nope.
You remember my ground?
Yep.
You ever read your Bible?
Nope.
You wanna know your tribe?
Yep.
You know you more than a slave?
Nope.
Don't you wanna be saved?
Yep.
You ever been baptized?
Nope.
Wanna get in that water?
Yep.
Ever confess your sin?
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trotting? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah.
The devil won't win.
No.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah.
I'm never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yeah.
The devil won't win.
No.
Leave all that sinning.
Yeah.
Whose life to choose from? You have to choose one. Who you gonna choose? The Most High or Satan?
To choose.
Whose life to choose from? You have to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose? Should I live a sinful life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yep.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yep.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yep.
Will he fall will forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
Yep.
To choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? The Most High or Satan?
To choose.
Whose side to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
All right. Swim, good evening. Shalom, good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of Square Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba, one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK. That is the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. Can I get something cool today? And welcome to our show. I'm doing a remote broadcast from our school in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is located at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. As you know, we also have schools in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, and Norfolk, Virginia. I'm going to be going over class about fear. I'm going to continue my series on fear. But I want to go ahead and address this thing that is in the news now, and it's going to cause a lot of panic and stir among Hebrew Israelites. And it's the shooting that took place in Jersey City. I guess it was today. I could pull the article up. I didn't want to go into this half-cocked. But apparently there was a shooting today, a gun shootout today with Jersey City police and a Hebrew Israelite man and a Hebrew Israelite woman, not a Hebrew Israelite, meaning they are identified as Black Hebrew Israelites. That apparently it was at a kosher market. I'm typing it up now. I had this from the New York Times 2 hours ago. News about Jersey City Black Hebrew Israelites. And this here says, Jersey City, this is from the New York Times. It says, Jersey City shooting suspect linked to Black Hebrew Israelite group. The Black Hebrew Israelites have been labeled a hate group. The suspect wrote anti-Semitic and anti-police posts, an official said. Right now, investigators are examining links to the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. Here's what you need to know. Thousands of people gathered at two funerals. An assailant had links to the Black Hebrew Israelites. A neighbor knew one of the suspects and saw a change. A kosher market was targeted. There was a shooting at a cemetery in a gun battle. It says an assailant involved in a prolonged firefight in Jersey City, New Jersey, that left six people dead, including one police officer, was linked on Wednesday to the Black Hebrew Israelite movement and had published anti-Semitic posts online, a law enforcement officer said. And the New York Times is not going to let me read the whole article because I need to get a sign up for an account. But apparently, again, they're trying to link this shooting to the Black Hebrew Israelites group. We know that that one thing that is being done in the news more now is the Black extremist, Black identity. Black identity extremists, and this is something else we go into this. The Black identity extremist, the BIE is what they're calling it now, coined by the FBI. It appeared in an internal FBI counterterrorism report dated 3 August 2017. The document describes police safety concerns from allegedly violent African-American activists in the United States. It was sent to thousands of police departments across America. All right. So what they're doing now is, we know we had, like, back in the day during the beginning of the civil rights movement when the government had but they call it counterintelligence and insertions going on within here in America against Black revolutionists. Black revolutionaries, and they kept records on all of us, and then infiltrated a lot of groups with a program called Cold Intel Pro, counterintelligence program that was specifically targeted towards minority groups, specifically black groups, that were for the overthrow of America. We try to identify and bring down a lot of groups internally. So we're having insurgents, having, as the scripture says, having men crept in unawares, infiltrating these groups, from the Black Panthers to the Muslims to the Nation of Islam to many different other groups that are out here. They were infiltrated by the CIA and by FBI agents, rose in the ranks, and caused a lot of anarchy, caused a lot of chaos, caused a lot of things that wound up bringing these organizations down to the ground in an attempt to stop the prophecies of the Messiah coming to save Israel. And again, all this has been prophesied. I need to be able to put a class together on all this, because my mind is really on about the because I've been preparing, but a few scriptures that do come to mind with something like this, and it's going national. This thing's being broadcast nationally about now these terrorists, black Hebrew Israelites, that have now went and shot up a Jewish kosher market, killed six people. One of them was a father of five. A police officer got killed. And again, the shooters that were put to death, a man and a woman, died, were linked to the Black Hebrew Israelite movement. We've got to understand that Christ has prophesied all this. Christ prophesied all of this. And I need to go ahead and again put this put a class together. There's so many scriptures coming to my mind concerning things like this that and I'm trying not to be so frustrated and angry, but let me just get into the scriptures. Let's go first to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. And it says, "Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." That's a pretty clear instruction. The Most High is given to the nation of Israel. It's not for us to take up arms to go against our enemies. Okay, that is not what his plan has been for us as Hebrew Israelites. It never was, never has been. Okay, that the overthrow of this society is not going to be at our hands. It's similar to coming out of ancient Egypt. We were not responsible for our own deliverance. We were not responsible for us making sure we save ourselves by taking up arms and taking matters into our own hands. That's not how the Most High gets his glory. In delivering us out of Egypt, let me get that real quick. That description comes to mind also. I didn't even put this class together. I really, as I'm thinking about it. I'm sorry. I'm still here, y'all. I'm trying to look at this one scripture. There's several scriptures in that I'm looking for. I Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14 is the first one I do want to go to. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14. And now my computer wants to lock up. Great. That the Most High gave Israel commandments that we're not supposed to rise up. It says, we're supposed to wait upon the Lord for him to rise up against the prey, for him to come against our enemies, for him to rise up against Esau. As we're going to get into Romans, as I'm waiting for my computer to unfreeze, that let me just read. My mind is all over the place. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14 tells us, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. For my eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Now, I'm going over this, and again, it's got my mind all over the place because there's so many people who don't read the Bible. You don't study. And you have such a fear, and as I'm going to tie this into this fast, you have such a fear that you want to use the blessing that was given to white people. They were blessed with the sword. They were blessed with the gun. They were blessed with the military. And now you want to use their God, their military might, their guns, their wisdom, their understanding to fight. And that don't make no sense. If people were studying the Bible, you would know that one thing that Esau was blessed with, that after he sold his birthright, which gave him, in selling his birthright, that would have gave him the thing to be the chosen people. That white people, Caucasians, would be the chosen people, and we would be the outsiders. But about him selling his birthright, which was prophesied by the Most High anyway, that he gave that right up. But he did get a blessing from his father Isaac, concerning his people, concerning his nation, and that the time was going to come that they were going to have rulership of the earth, and starting with the Greeks to the Romans, and now current day America, they're in their rulership. They're in their heaven. They're in their heaven on earth. But how do they achieve their riches? How do they achieve their power? How do they achieve their status in the world? It was through their military. When the Greeks came on the scene, nobody could deal with their military. But the so-called white man, the very first civilization that the so-called white man had, being the Greeks under Alexander, their military might at that time was supreme. No one could stand up against it. Then you come back with the Romans. By the time the Roman legions, the Roman armies came, their military might was far exceeded anybody else before them. But all this is prophesied in the book of Daniel about the Greeks and the Romans and who Esau is. It was told to Esau in Genesis chapter 25, not 25, chapter 27, that he would be blessed with the sword, and that's how he's going to rule the world, is with his military might, with his guns. And that's what he's done. And all a nuclear bomb is a bigger gun. That's all it is. It's a big bullet. And that's how he's ruled the earth, with terror, with his military, with his military might. And for Israelites to come back now, and you think it's about you're going to take the so-called white man's weapons and use the so-called white man's weapons against them and prevail? That's ridiculous. That logic makes no sense if you study the Bible just a little bit. That was his blessing, the gun and the military. Our blessing is the words of the Most High. Our blessing is the words of his Bible. Yeah, if we follow the words of the Bible, we're going to be okay. As Hebrew Israelites, we're going to be secure and safe. But we see how the white man rules and got his power and got his rulership, being ruthless, being selfish, and using that gun. So we like, cool. So since we ain't got no power, how can we get some power? Now, let's go ahead and be selfish and ruthless and get guns also. That makes no sense. That's not our blessing. That's not how our God works. That's why that brother and sister are dead right now. You went sharp a Jewish market. And you know, it still has yet to even be revealed if this was just a scenario set up by white people. If this is another false flag operation. Just to get now a fear. Just to get now a terror towards black Hebrew Israelites. That not only do we talk rough and we pull the Bible out and use scriptures to condemn this society, to condemn Caucasians for what they've done, to condemn all nations for what they've done, and not by our own particular judgment, but the judgment of the Most High, though, showing up what the judgment of God is. And as Hebrew Israelites are spreading across the world through IUIC, through ISUBK, through ISBHBK, through GLCC, from Israel of God, the Hebrew Israelite, the Yahweh Ben Yahwehs, the what do you call them, cats? The Benamis. The awakening is taking place and cannot be stopped. And again, all this is prophesied. But in all this being prophesied, it's not about us taking up weapons against our enemies. I'm going to read the scripture again. We're in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 14. It says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." When the Most High brought Israel out of Egypt, what weapons did we as Israelites have? What weapons did we have to secure our safety and to secure to make sure we could get out of Egypt safely? Not one. We didn't have one. But we got such fear on us now that now we got to do as the so-called white. Now, again, using that term wisdom, well, wisdom, we should make sure we have a gun to protect ourselves. Why are you making sure you have a gun to protect yourself, but you don't have scripture to protect yourself? Why are you trying to hold on to the American civil rights? And I'm an American, and I have a right to bear arms. And as an American, I have a right to do this. Have you forgotten that we were brought to America for our punishment? You can't claim to be an American. We're Israelites. But you have so many, I've seen this, and I grew up when I first came into truth with that mentality that we're going to go out guns a-blazing. No, we're not. That is not how it's going to be done. The Most High said, wait upon him. Jeremiah 60:14. Again, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that I brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 15. But the Lord liveth, that I brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north. And where do we happen to be at right now? We're in North America. What other place on the planet Earth can you find all 12 tribes gathered in one place, geographically? If it's not the United States, I don't know what is. Where we happen to be at. So again, Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 15. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again to their land that I gave unto their fathers. How did the Most High bring us into the land of Israel the first time? Was it because of our martial arts expertise? Was it because we were Hebrews and we practiced Tai Chi and Drunken Fist and Crouching Tiger and Praying Mantis and the Crow and the tiger and the dragon with his tail? Is that why we conquered? Is that how we were delivered? That we matched military might against the people that were oppressing us? I'm not talking about the conquering of the land of Canaan. I'm talking about our deliverance from Egypt. When we were delivered from Egypt, what military might did we have? What guns and weapons did we use against the Egyptians to secure our safety and our deliverance out of Egypt? So this mentality that we got to do the same thing now, and I know the fear and the panic that is going to run rampant throughout all the Israel camps and schools and churches or what have you, is that we got to get guns now too. Because the white man's not going to be coming for us because now they got us on the national radar. Then now that we're on the national radar, that now the attacks against Israelites is going to begin. So you got to arm yourselves. You have to arm yourselves and get ready. If we're saying arm ourselves, meaning gird our minds up, like the scripture says, then I'm completely with that. Are you girding your mind up with these scriptures so that the most highest wisdom and knowledge is the stability of your times? I almost hate now when I hear Hebrew Israelites use Isaiah 33:6 to justify, we got to buy weapons. You have to arm yourself. You want to take a carnal weapon to a spiritual battle. And if the Most High says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with him, then why would a person want to make sure that, again, if the Most High is not there for you, what's a gun going to do? You can have all the guns. If the Most High is not with you, that gun is still not going to protect you. It's not going to happen. And again, this is leading me back to the class that we're dealing with in the fear of the Most High. We have no fear of the Most High, but we have a fear of a gun. And we have more faith in a gun than we do the words of the Most High. We're so twisted in our thinking. We're so shook that I can trust a gun because I can see a gun. I can trust a gun because I can see, I can hear when it goes off. But we won't put that same trust into the scriptures. We won't put that same trust into what the Most High says. And then we're looking for and are depending on that gun and bullets and guerrilla warfare to save us. Because we saw the Vietnamese do it, that's why it's going for us. Because we see Bear Grylls do it. Because we see it's Bear Grylls and what's the other guy? Survivor Man. Because we see all these shows now. And see, that's what we got to do. Not through the scriptures, not apply the scriptures, but we got to go on to survival training. Les Stroud. That's what we got to do now. We got to do some Les Stroud training. Training in the deserts and in the mountains and in the valleys, because that's going to be our safety. Because that's going to be our wisdom. Let me get Isaiah 33:6, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6. Again, my computer is dragging right now. I don't know why. Isaiah 33 and 6. And this is one of Israel's love quote. I'm starting verse 5. That's one thing we also never do. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 5. The Lord is exalted. It didn't say you're a gun. It didn't say your Boy Scout survival training. It said the thing that's going to be exalted is the Most High. The Lord is exalted. He dwelleth on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Again, our safety is in the Most High. Doing things His way. Verse 6, Isaiah 33 and 6. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. And everybody stops right there. All Israelites everywhere stop right there. It's got to be our wisdom, huh? It's got to be about the wisdom. Where's our wisdom at? It's got to be about wisdom. But as we're going to do some more of these scriptures tonight, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is everything when it comes to dealing with wisdom. Not how many guns you got and how well you clean them and how proficient you are shooting them. Not for the flamethrower, booby trap that you got set up outside your door. That's so when they come from your door, that the flamethrower booby trap you set up, that's gonna save you. Like some Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin from back in whenever that damn movie came out, that by putting the hot iron on the doorknob and freezing, putting the water on the steps and tacks on the ground, that's gonna save. Is those tactics that's gonna save you? And not the Most High. Again, Isaiah 33:6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The strength of our salvation is going to be in wisdom and in knowledge. And yes, you know we're going back to the scripture on this one. I'm reading off Isaiah 33:6. It says, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. If we as Israelites really want to be stable during these times, as we Israelites really want to have the strength of salvation during these times, it says wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times, and that the fear of the Lord is his treasure, that we treasure doing things the Most High's way. That is where our stability and the strength of our salvation is going to come from as Hebrew Israelites. Not the fact that because the gun works for Esau, the gun works for white people, it's going to work for us. All right, let me go here. Matter of fact, I got to go back here. Now let's go back to a tried and true scripture, Zephaniah 2:1. Let's go back now to Zephaniah chapter 2:1. Now, as far as, again, the wisdom and the knowledge that we as Hebrew Israelites should be applying at this time, it's not that we go get more guns, we get more bullets, and we get more wilderness training. Zephaniah 2:1, gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not desire, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass of the shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. So again, as Hebrew Israelites, if we don't want the fierce anger of the Lord to come upon us, we don't want that decree to sound, and we're out there stuck with no stability, with no safety. Zephaniah 2:2, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a shaft, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. We're the only nation that has wrought the Most High's judgment. That's why we're still living in the ghettos and the slums. That's why we're still being oppressed by the same government that brought us over on slave ships over 500 years ago. We've been drinking the Most High's judgment. We're drunk on the Most High's judgment. We've been judged. So it goes on to say, Zephaniah chapter 2:3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Are we, as much as we're seeking the next safety measure, are you searching the scriptures? Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be healed in the day of the Lord's anger. This is the answer for us as Israelites, what we got to do. We stay together. That's our safety. When, again, for if you've studied at all, we know that Egypt, the empire of Egypt, went all the way up through Canaan. It stretched all the way over to, we definitely know it had Ethiopia and Saudi Arabia, all the way to Babylon, Mesopotamia. That's how far the Egyptian empire, its actual empire extended. It wasn't just right there in Egypt. But it had, and it conquered as far as Iraq, modern-day Iraq. Now, in all of that, we know that the scripture tells us that the Israelites had been scattered throughout all Egypt because the Egyptians had cut off the government assistance, for lack of a better term. They cut off the government assistance so that we've been scattered trying to find straw and hay to make brick for our work to keep up with the cost of living. So we were forced to go over all Egypt. Just like today, you have a lot of Israelites that have become from truck driving all over Egypt trying to make money and be able to come back home, keep up the cost of living. If you're solitary, how many people are working two jobs? How many people, in order to live in America, it is necessary that households have two incomes coming in? Because it's getting too hard out here. But what was the plan of the Egyptians when they implemented that plan? It's because the Hebrew Israelites were wanting to go and worship the Most High. So the plan of the government of Pharaoh at that time was to do what? Let's get their mind off of wanting to go serve their God, and let's get their mind on make sure they keep serving us. Because the cost of living is going to keep going up higher and higher. They're too idle if they want to go serve their God. So we got to get them worried about their credit. We got to get them worried about where they're going to live. We got to get them worried about how they're going to eat. We got to get them worried about these things, health insurance. We got to get their minds focused on these other things and not on what we take to serve the Most High so that we don't have to worry about none of this. Remember, that was the plan of the Egyptians, the plan of Pharaoh, and it worked. And we're going to see that's the exact same plan that will be implemented here in America, that will be implemented now here in America. We're being scattered all over the place trying to work. What keeps us from gathering together? I'm too tired, and I got to work tomorrow morning. My work is a grueling schedule, that I want to be up fresh and ready for work tomorrow. That we have more concern and more effort into that than we do. What do we now need to do to please the Most High? What's the next step we need to take as Hebrew Israelites? How much more cleaning do we got to do? How much more spiritual cleansing do we need to accomplish? But our minds are getting carried away with, we need more survival tactics. We need more survival techniques. Which is doing what? Pulling you away from the scriptures. Pulling you away from salvation. Our key, our safety is in gathering together. Always has, always will be. And that's what we're going to have to do. But now, with this thing came out on the national news services now, from the New York Times to CNN to MSN, what have you. Then now the Black Hebrew Israelites are out here killing, we're anti-Semitic, and now we're out here killing East Indians. I don't condone that at all. Let me make sure I am saying that. We don't condone it. We don't condone that we're supposed to get arms and rise up against these people. No. We don't condone it at all. What I am condoning is we're supposed to gather ourselves together and waiting up on the Most High, that he's going to rise up to the prey. And in the same scripture, Zephaniah chapter 3, that same scripture tells us what? It tells us that first the Most High is sent for many fishers. The teaching needs to get out. But why is the teaching not getting out? I got to worry about my bills. I got to worry about my credit. I got to worry about how comfortable I am. So the importance of making sure the teaching gets out so we can gather Israel, so we all get out of here, That's being erased. And now it's for everybody, how can I just be comfortable? I need to be comfortable. But to make sure the teaching gets out, remember when a lot of people, when you first came to the truth, you paid tithes without anybody asking? Because you understood that this was the work of the Most High? Remember that time? Remember the fear you had and wanting to help the work of the Most High? Tithes wasn't no thing. Because this work was important. The work of the Most High was important. But look and see how things have changed. Look and see how the tide has turned. That now it's about my personal comfort, my personal what have you, and not about making sure the teaching gets put out, the teaching gets done, the teaching is supported. Do you think that our enemies have not set this up by design? You think our enemies don't see this and know this? Or you think it's just a coincidence? It's that Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of the Most High and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. That's a joke. He said the things that the Gentiles worry about, how am I going to eat? How am I going to take care of? Where am I going to sleep? What am I going to wear? He said that's the mind of a Gentile. That's the mind of somebody who does not believe in the God of the Bible. That's why he doesn't believe that the God of the Bible works. We want to be careful of these things because they're set up so conveniently now. And again, the shock and terror that's probably going to be out here in the world is about how the black people of Israel now are a violent group. That for people that you might be even trying to teach, for people you might be trying to reach, trying to get to come to class, that now they're going to hear about the black Hebrew Israelites out here killing people, and what's that going to do to the minds of most people who don't know? That the black Hebrew Israelites were just violent. And then by the time they look up black Hebrew Israelites and go online, you got some black Hebrew Israelite groups talking about the having sex with nine-year-old children. You got some black Hebrew Israelite groups out here talking about you need to get guns, and get arms and be ready to rise up against a so-called white man. Or you can go see some Hebrew Israelites who just go out there and they teach rough, teach stern. They don't back down in the Israelite garments, wearing the fringes, so we can be identified as Hebrew Israelites. And what it looks like we're intimidating or we're bullying people with the Bible. So you put that together along with now the black Hebrew Israelites are killing people. Man, forget about it. Now, in trying to gather ourselves together, now trying to get Israel together, now trying to wake up our people, These are plots and plans of our enemies to keep us from gathering together. And no, I'm not with y'all. I heard about y'all. Oh, I know about y'all. I went on the internet and I found out about y'all. But I'm going to say this. Christ did say this. My sheep hear my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. I do find solace in that. I do find solace in that. But the plans of this society, the plans of this government, again, that's all in the scriptures. Revelations chapter 12, verse 17. I'm going to the book now, Revelations chapter 12, verse 17. And it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. Now, we know the woman here is talking about the nation of Israel. The so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans. That we are the children of Israel. We are the nation of Israel. And the dragon represents the Caucasian race. The dragon represents the Caucasian race, and right now the American government. And so it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. So we have this Caucasian society being wroth, upset, angry with the woman again being Israel. It says, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That there's a war against the remnant of the Israelites that are still here in the Americas. A war all over the world, but particularly here in America. And it says this war is for what purpose? And reading on with Revelation 12:17. I'm reading again from the top. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of the Most High and have the testimony of Jesus Christ or Yahweh Shai. HaMashiach Yahweh Shai. That there is a war against Israelites keeping the commandments of the Most High. This goes all the way back to the Greeks. What was the decree, especially as we're in the time of Hanukkah here next week? What was the plan of the mission of the Greeks, of the Antiochians, the Greek Empire at the time? That everybody put down his laws, put down his culture, and adopt Grecian Hellenistic ways. And that all people should be one, and should be no more individuals, should be no more individual nations. That we're all the human race. We all bleed red blood. So we're seeing a similar tactic just being played now at this time now. I'm going to jump over to verse 12. Verse 12 is going to help explain this a little bit more also. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. It says, again, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. That this last empire, this last Caucasian empire, is the last Caucasian empire. It's going to be subdued by Christ, and all other kingdoms are going to be subdued by Christ. But because this devil knows they have a short time, their rulership going all the way back to the Greeks, 333 B.C., the time of the Romans, 227 B.C., all the way up now to current America, that now their time is coming to a close. What's that? We're in 2020. Alexander was in 333, so approximately 2,300 years ago. 2,300 years has been the reign of the so-called white man, the reign of so-called Caucasians. Whether it comes to the Greeks or the Romans, or now the modern-day Americans or Russians or Czechoslovakians, we see they're running everything. And they ran it with their military. They ran it with the fear of military forces or strikes, retaliations against the rest of the world. So, because they're realizing they have a little bit of time, they're going to come down with great wrath. But great wrath upon who? Against the woman and those that are keeping the commandments of the Most High. Those that are applying the wisdom and the knowledge of the Most High. So that their lives can be stable. And the strength of their salvation. I'm going to throw this out here. You know why so many Israelites have anxiety? You don't use the Most High's wisdom and knowledge. And because you don't use the Most High's wisdom and knowledge, you don't feel safe. You don't feel secure. So you're looking for safety. You're looking for security. And you're still not stable from the anxieties, to the bipolarisms, to the phobias, to you name it. You're not stable. Because the one thing that you can count on to be stable, the Most High's Word, which is like a mountain which cannot be moved, you won't trust in the Most High's Word. You won't lean to the Most High's Word. You won't look to the Most High's Word for stability. That's sad. That's sad. But I digress. We know and understand, again, that our enemies are going to come up with plans somehow, some type of way. We don't know the exact details of this persecution of Hebrew Israelites. It's got to happen. It's got to come. Because the Most High is looking to see who's going to be for him and who's not. Are we looking for safety from the other nations and how they do things? Are we looking for safety and showing the Most High we love him and doing things his way? All right, so with that, I want to go ahead and go back to, we left off in Job chapter 28, verse 28. I'll read that again. Job chapter 28, verse 28. It says, and unto the man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. I'm going to continue on that. On that line of thought, that as much as we do use Isaiah 33 and 6, and wisdom and knowledge to bring stability at times, and strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Again, so what is the Most High's wisdom and knowledge that he's looking for Israelites to be using so that we might feel the strength of his salvation, so that we might feel stable? It's his commandments. It's having a fear of not doing things that he said do. The way he said, do it. Again, if you feel the strength of your salvation when you hold a gun, but not when you hold the Bible, something's wrong with you. If you feel safe and secure, and you feel like you are somebody and you got something because you've got, a gun. No. If the gun is not going to help the so-called Caucasian race, how and why is it going to help you? But even deeper than that, let's go deeper to the psychology. Why do you feel security with that but not with the scriptures? How many people be killed by guns? Maybe I just answered my own question. Because so many people have been killed by guns, a person will trust that, but you won't trust applying the scripture. You feel safe and secure if you have a gun on you. But again, I'm asking my own questions. A person doesn't have the strength of salvation because you're not using the Most High commandment. So you feel very... That's where the anxiety comes from. That's where the panic comes from. Because we are not holding on to the commandments of the Most High the way he wants things done. From there, I'm going to read Psalms 111, verse 10. Psalms chapter 111, verse 10. And it reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, so if we're going to look at Isaiah 33 and 6, that says, wisdom and knowledge will be stability at times. Well, here in Psalms, chapter 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want to start at the beginning of safe and secure, then where's your fear of the Most High? Because that's the beginning of his wisdom. That's the beginning of you starting to feel safe, strong, secure, is doing things his way. And then continuing to do things his way so that you can feel safe, sound, and secure. So again, reading Psalms chapter 111, verse 10 again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Again, how do you think the Most High gets praise? Because you got a tambourine and you went to church? Because you turned off all Tupac or all 2 Chainz And now you just listen to gospel music, and now that's praise. You're on the praise team. Does the most I get praise from you singing and dancing, or does the most I get praise from applying his word, from applying his scriptures? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And it reads, Proverbs 71, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'll read this one more time. Proverbs 71, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So again, if wisdom and knowledge is going to be the stability of your times, and I've heard so many people in my 30 years of teaching this Bible, that yeah, we got to get all the wisdom and knowledge of everything. The Sun Tzu art of war type of mentality that in order to defeat your enemy, you got to know him. No, not when the Most High says the battle is his. Not when he's the one who controls everything. Maybe for Sun Tzu and I guess the Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, whoever the hell he was and what they're for, all right, cool. But for Hebrew Israelites, that wisdom is not the Most High's wisdom. For where we as Hebrew Israelites, are you looking for safety and security? I'm going to read it one more time. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. We refuse to be instructed in the ways of the Most High. For whatever excuse we give ourselves, as Hebrew Israelites. And that's a damn shame. So again, Isaiah 33:6, if it tells us that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of times and strength of salvation. If you want to feel more strength of your salvation, you want to make sure you have the right knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that you can feel the strength of the Most High salvation. Says you can feel the strength of the Most High's stability. And when I say strength, I mean in this sense right here. Let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 10 and verse 35. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. And it tells us what? Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. But our confidence in what? Not your confidence in your gun or in the way you think and the way you see things. That's pride. Most I can't stand that. But he does say, again, Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of the Most High, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Then now, again, we as Hebrew Israelites to find out from Baruch chapter 4, verse 4. That we have a chance now of learning what pleases the Most High, and that we're going to spit on it. We're going to throw it in the trash. because I feel more safe and secure in things like I got my own gun. I got my credit up. I'm an outstanding member of American society, and I got an 800 credit score. I don't know if they really not. I don't know. What about our confidence in the Most High in the scriptures? I'm not sure. When was the last time, brothers and sisters, families, when was the last time you went over the Mark of the Beast class? About, it tells you how a person will not be able to buy, sell, or trade unless they have the Mark of the Beast. But it tells you also that not being able to buy, sell, or trade unless you have the Mark of the Beast, that those who have the Mark of the Beast can't be saved. But what's the other side to being able to buy, sell, and trade but not have the Mark of the Beast? Remember Mark chapter 10? Let's get that. It was I said Mark 10. Where is that at? Where is that at? I forgot where it's at, but I'm going to paraphrase it as I look it up. Remember he said that manifold more. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. I call Mark. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, I'm sorry, verse 28. Hold on, I got to start up a little bit. I could start above this, but I'm going to start at verse 24 here. Luke chapter 18, verse 24. Luke chapter 18, I'm starting at verse 24. And it says, and when the housewife saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly I got to start at 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he also said to him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is my Father. That is the Most High. Verse 20. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now, when Joshua heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. I don't know how many Israelites forget this scripture right here. We're quick to make a list of all the things that we're doing, and we're quick to make this list of I do this and I do this and I do that and do this, and we do it with a grudge. We do it like we're owed something. But verse 22 says what? Now when Yahushua heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Now, remember, one of the things that we went over in the beginning of this series, specifically the fear of the Lord, if there's somebody poor, your brother, an Israelite, next to you, that's poor, you shall relieve him. And it should not be in your wicked mind not to help him out. That's in the law. That's in the law. But now Israelites be like, I'm tired of giving. I'm tired of feeling like I'm on the bottom. I'm tired of feeling like all I do is give and I don't get no return. Where is your mind at? I'm reading Luke 18:22 again. Now, when Yahushua heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. You still lacking. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Help others. Distribute to the poor. Why is it the only time he's supposed to call us is when he needs something? Why is it? Am I the only one that can be called on? I've heard women and men say the same thing. You got to call me. You can't call nobody else. Why is it on me? Why is it always on me? What does the scripture say? Luke chapter 18:22. Now, when Yahushua heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. This is what Christ did. Follow Christ. Still treasure in heaven. But we don't have confidence that that's going to work. Because there's no fear of the Most High. There's no fear of letting the Most High down. Verse 23. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You got a lot of people living ghetto fabulous. They ain't rich, but they're very comfortable in their world. And had to give up any of their comforts. How did this man walk away? Very sorrowful. Very sorrowful. Verse 24. Luke chapter 18, verse 24. And when Yahushua saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of the Most High? For you to follow Christ makes you sorrowful? For you to see that you're doing the same things Christ did, there's no way in hell anybody walking the planet Earth today has given up more than what Yahushua gave up. As far as prestige, status, in the kingdom of heaven before coming down out of Mary. Nobody has given up more. Nobody has humbled himself more. But to follow Christ's steps, to do the same thing he does, he just do things the way he did things, that I can help others. Scripture tells us that Christ became poor so others become rich. But now for Israelites to now have the opportunity to walk the same steps Christ walked, we're sorrowful? We're full of regret? You don't think you got a demon on you? Really? Luke chapter 18, verse 24 again. And when Yahushua saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter to the kingdom of the Most High? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye that for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, the needle's eye ain't talking about needle and sewing thread, Martha Stewart. Let's not talk about that. The needle was one of the gates coming into Israel, coming into Jerusalem. And when camels was carrying a person's goods, in order for this camel to fit through the gate, you had to strip the camel. You had to take things off the camel in order for the camel now to get through the gate. So Christ is using it as a metaphor or like a visual aid that people think that they're losing things, and they're despised and sorrowful and angry that they're losing things. That's why it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for those people into the kingdom of heaven. You're so sorrowful and angry and full of regret that you're losing to do things the way Christ did things. Okay. And you wonder why you don't feel safe and secure. Where's your fear of the Most High? Where's your confidence in the Most High? That you're storing treasures in heaven. Where's that at? I'm going to read on. Verse 26. And they that heard it said, who can be saved? So I like the scripture right here, verse 26. So what was the mentality of the disciples? Well, salvation must mean I carry all my goods with me. That everything I work hard for, I'm able to keep. That means I'm going to be saved. The thought that I'm going to have to lose to save, that's an abomination. What do you mean I got to lose to gain? That makes no sense. I thought salvation was I keep all I ever had and I keep getting more. That's what church taught me. That's why I see people in the world using the wisdom of the world. That's what they get. They get more, and they're happy. To the point where the nations, shit, it got to the point where the nations were literally sacrificing their kids on altars to get more. If I kill a kid, I'll kill a kid. Cool, no problem. But this is how Shai talked to the disciples, the ones that became the apostles. And their mentality became what? Well, Luke chapter 18, verse 26. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Well, I thought this is about me gaining. This ain't my idea of being saved. Verse 27, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with the Most High. As you think as a man, you think it's going to be impossible then, because I'm thinking salvation is I get and gain and get and gain and get and gain. But that's not the salvation the Most High or Christ was ever talking about. That's something you put together. Verse 28, then Peter said, lo, we left all and followed thee. Verse 29, and he said unto them, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of the Most High's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So how are we going to acquire these things but not have the mark of the beast? Is the only way we're going to acquire these things is by having the mark of the beast? Or is there a wisdom and a knowledge that the Most High gives that it's his power? It's him that brought it through, not because I took these steps to save me. I got this wisdom about how I can use this wisdom for me. But not the wisdom that the Most High is talking about. I was able to get this house and this car and this credit by looking out for me. But taking care of others, that's just for the birds. That don't work. I got this without the Most High. I got these benefits and got this. I got these benefits and this glory that I was looking for. Not with the Most High's wisdom, but with Satan's wisdom. And what was offered to Christ during his temptation? All this wealth and all these riches will I give to thee, because it's all delivered in my hand. I can give it to whom I want to. All you got to do is bow down and serve me. Do things my way. For the world is given to Satan. So, as things are being done, whose wisdom are you using? I know if there's not no fear of the Most High, you're not using the Most High's wisdom. And as a friend of mine used to always say, when playing dominoes, all money ain't good money. I mean, it might look good now. But the whole thing about fool's gold, all that sparkles don't shine. It might look sparkly now, but you go to trade in with somebody who knows real gold, that's fool's gold you got. You never tried this gold, did you? You never put this gold to the fire because you're afraid to lose. You was afraid to get purified. And now you put all this fool's gold you got in the fire, and you got nothing. But you thought you had something. Think about that juvenile song. Thought you had something, huh? Thought you was a big baller, huh? Thought you was going to come up, huh? There's a wisdom. There's two types of wisdom in this world. There's the Most High's wisdom and there's Satan's wisdom. Which one are you using? And Satan's wisdom doesn't come demons and goblins and three blind females standing at a pot stirring it. Satan's wisdom comes like as the scripture says, looking like a beautiful angel. It looks beautiful, the wisdom he presents. It looks like a good idea. And yet, the wisdom of the Most High comes with, do you have a fear of the Most High? Which is what? The beginning of his wisdom and his knowledge. Which one are you rocking with? From there, let's go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. No, I got to start above. I'm starting verse 8. I could start at the top of this whole chapter, but I'm not. Proverbs 9, verse 8, it says, reprove not a scorner. Now remember, reprove means correct. Don't correct a scorner. A scorner is somebody who doesn't want to hear. Correction. They only want to do things their way. He says, don't reprove a scorner. Somebody that's a scorner, well, he's going to tell you what they're going to do. Lest he hate thee. You would tell a scorner what the Most High's way is. But because they're scornful, they're not going to hear. They're not trying to hear that. And then they're going to hate you. How dare you try to tell me this? Well, let me tell you this. Can you tell me scriptures? I'll tell you this. This is how you can recognize this corner. This ain't hard. It says, rebuke a wise man, he will love thee. Wow. You trying to get me right with the Most High? And you did it kind of sharp. You did it kind of direct. since you rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee, because he understands this is about me getting closer to the Most High. This is about me doing things right by the Most High. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I'm learning more and more about the Most High. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Are we leading our lives with the fear of the Most High? All right, from there, let's go to First Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. First Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And he says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the Most High, the power of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. These are the instructions that David gave to Solomon upon Solomon's coronation. I want Solomon being anointed as king. And what were the instructions? Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. If thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. I'm going to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Again, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. If somebody's trying to instruct you on the fear of the Most High, about the Most High, that is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor, before you're going to be honored, there has to be what? Humility. But to do it Satan's way, I don't have to be humiliated. I can be just honored. I'm not going to take it low. I ain't going to feel like I'm dumb, like I don't know anything. No. I'm going to be respected. I'm going to be respected, and I'm going to show that I do got knowledge, I do got wisdom. I ain't going to do the Most High, but I'm going to be respected for having some wisdom and some knowledge. Ain't got nothing to do with the Most High, though. Okay. Another scripture about the fear of the Lord. Ecclesiasticus, in Apocrypha. Chapter 1, verse 27. For the fear of the Lord is wisdom and instruction. You see how these certain words keep getting intertwined? Fear of the Lord, instruction. Fear of the Lord, wisdom. Fear of the Lord, knowledge. You got to be instructed. You got to allow somebody to teach you the Most High. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 27. For the fear of the Lord is wisdom and instruction, and faith and meekness are his delight. Having faith in what? The Most High's wisdom and the Most High's instructions. that delights the Most High. And meekness delights the Most High. And if you saw our talk about fast yesterday, you know, that's one thing he was going over, about how we're the meek of the earth. And the definition of meekness. Let's go to Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 20. In the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus chapter 19, verse 20. And it reads, the fear of the Lord is all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is all wisdom. And in all wisdom is the performance of the law. And the knowledge of his omnipotency, omnipotency, meaning most of us being all powerful. Do you acknowledge that the Most High is all powerful, that he created everything, and that if he created everything, then wouldn't he have the wisdom of knowing how to get through everything? Wouldn't he have the instructions to help you? So the Most High warns us so many times. We always teach. Most of us speak once, say twice. So we go and see that there's too many scriptures about what the fear of the Lord is. It's his wisdom. The fear of the Lord is his wisdom, and his knowledge, his understanding, how he sees it. It's the Most High perspective. Okay. Now, what happened to Israel? Well, I can't even go there. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 17 and 18. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 17 and 18. We have too many scriptures, the Most High saying over and over and over and over and over and over again what wisdom, knowledge, and instruction is. It's his fear. You fear him. You're afraid of him. You're afraid of disappointing him. You're afraid of the consequences of not doing things his way. That's what the fear of the Most High is. We've gone over two or three classes now discussing that very topic. Now we're in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 17 and 18. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 17 and 18. It says, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. At this point, and I got about 90 seconds left for tonight. I'll continue this tomorrow morning. Because we have not kept the fear of the Most High, there's consequences to it. So as we have grown up with generational phobias, as we have grown up with scared of everything, a fear of everything, the only reason we've had to grow up that way is because our people lost the fear of the Most High. To the point where the Most High hid his face from us. I'm not looking at y'all no more. You know, like the stereotypical talk to the hand? The Most High turned his back like, get out of my face. I haven't had you all in my face disrespecting me. I'm trying to tell y'all stuff for y'all good. I'm trying to tell y'all how to be my sons, my daughters. I'm trying to tell y'all how to live. I'm trying to tell y'all how to be the sons and daughters of a God. And now I'm a 5% type madness or whatever. But my wisdom ain't good enough for y'all. In fact, to do things the Most High's way, it causes us sorrow. It causes us regret. Like, all of a sudden, we know our spirits better than the Most High knows us. Like, we know better what is good for us when the Most High created us. Don't you think when he created us, he knew what he created us for? That he had an end game? That he had a purpose? And because he gave our little dirt bodies we got the ability to talk, that now we have the ability to go ahead and just talk about why we ain't gonna do what he wants. And he needs to listen. So again, last scripture for tonight, you know, I'll continue this tomorrow morning. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 17 and 18. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. And I'm referencing this going back to our travels here in America, where all of our family traditions were learned, where all of our superstitions have been given birth to a people who were not allowed to learn how to read and write, to know what is right, to a people that were not allowed for centuries to learn what the Bible actually said. They got all their lessons about God from superstition, from their experiences. They had nothing to do with them doing things the way the Bible says. So that the art of war seems like it's good wisdom. So that the Egyptian Book of the Dead seems like it's good wisdom. So that whatever it is that we picked up in life, that seems like good wisdom. And in that process, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 17 again. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. There's too many scriptures. Most of it talks about I sent you my prophets, rising up early, trying to warn you, trying to give you my word. But it got to the point where we were killing the prophets, literally. Israelites were throwing prophets to death. I don't want to hear that. I'm hell-bent on doing things my way. I found my own wisdom. I don't want to hear that that's what makes it right with the Most High. I'm not trying to hear that. And the prophets were put to death by Israelites. That's a shame. So that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought. All the evil we keep doing. That's what most of us are about. I'm not watching this. I'm not looking at this. I'm not going to sit here. Y'all in the promised land. We're in the promised land. Got every blessing a person can think about. And it's not enough. We're complaining. We're mad. We're sorrowful for having to please the Most High. And he's looking and seeing this. All right, cool. Then I'm going to have my face. And then whatever happens to you, happens to you. But it's not like the warnings weren't there. It's not like somebody was trying to show you a scripture. in that day, for all the evils which they shall have wrought, and that they are turned unto other gods. So I am going to end with that, brothers and sisters. I do plan on picking this up again tomorrow. Tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, yeah. All right, cool. I'm going to start tomorrow. Let me see here. I got a text. You're only a day away. It's got to be you, our guy. That could be nobody else. No, I probably got that from you in tonight. The water. The water, the water. The water. All right, so I am going to continue to fast tomorrow. Again, I want to leave off with and us understanding that for all the warnings the Most High gave us over years, over centuries, and advising us that the fear of the Most High, that's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Most High is wisdom. The fear of the Most High is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. To perform and do what the Most High says, that is holy, that is good, and the person who does what the Most High says has great understanding. Has gadol to wild Bayana. So with that, please join us again tomorrow morning. If you're in the Albuquerque area, we'll be starting class at 9 a.m. Let me check it out right. No, 8 a.m., I'm sorry. If you're in Albuquerque, we'll be starting class tomorrow at 8 a.m. If you're in the Texas, we'll be starting at 9 a.m. And if you're on the East Coast, it'll be 10 a.m. Okay, please put the word out to like, share, subscribe to all of our YouTube channels on YouTube, whether it's ISBHPK Live, ISBHPK Norfolk Live. Like, share, subscribe to those channels. And at the same time, don't forget your boy here. Don't forget us here on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, please don't forget about us here on blogtalkradio.com. I'll continue prayers for the Sister Monique up there in Albuquerque, who's going through some trial tribulations right now. We're hoping the Most High will restore her and comfort and help her family. Our prayers also go out to Shekinah and his family in the time of the Most High calling back the Maya Gamar, calling him back home to his homecoming. That the Most High be with Shekinah and his family and friends as they go through this time right now. All right? So with that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, please log on tomorrow morning. Area code 646-668-2568. You can call in or www.blogtalkradio.com/Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. And if you give this show here about 5 minutes, it should be on Google Podcasts. That you go to the download the app Google Podcasts and then actually go to and log on to blogtalkradio.com. You might have to type it in. As the blogtalkradio.com comes up, there's another search box. Type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, and that will give you a direct link to our podcasts and our shows as they get uploaded to Google Podcasts. And that way you can fast forward, rewind, pause throughout the podcast, because sometimes you just try and do it through the blogtalk format. Then say you get a phone call in the middle of listening to class, that by the time you get back and play Blog Talk again, it will start all the way back from the beginning. But if you download Google Podcast, as our podcasts go out, again, just for the convenience of being able to pause, rewind, and go fast forward, it's all right there with Google Podcast. And it's free. Okay. So thank you everybody for tuning in. And with that, I am going to go ahead and say shalom.